that age, the main process, the most effective process for reawakening our forgotten relationship with the Lord, with God, is the chanting of the holy names. Yes. Of course, there are all sorts of other things which people do and which are done in this tradition. But, well, there's a verse. Let me just mention one verse that's from Srimad Bhagavatam. And it says, Krite Yad Dhyayato Vishnu Tretayam Yajato Makai Dwarparam Paracharyavam Kalo Hari Kirtanat. Which means, well, it is referring, the verse is referring to the four, like, universal ages. The universe goes through a sort of cyclical process of time, starting very good, coming down to some degree, second age, coming down further, third age, and then really coming down to a pretty poor level, pretty, pretty poor. In the fourth age, which is Kali Yuga, which happens to be this age that we're in, I think we've all noticed that there are all sorts of upheavals and problems and difficulties, and it's really, sure, sometimes it's quite amazing, actually, what's going on in the world. And the chaos that there is, at least in different places in the world, and we don't exclude South Africa, I'm afraid. Forgive us for saying that. But things get a little rough in South Africa also. So it is Kali Yuga now, that fourth age, the lowest. And after some time, after quite some time actually, then the cycle will sort of progress further and come back to a higher level, golden age. So anyway, that particular verse that I quoted, it's saying that in the Krita Yuga, or it's also known as the Satya Yuga, the process generally for God realization was Dhyayato Vishnum, which means to perform silent meditation on the Supreme Lord Vishnu. Then, in the second age, which is called Treta Yuga, the process, the verse is saying, Tretayam Yajato Makai, that in the Treta Yuga, the recommended and most popular process is, in Sanskrit, yaja or yajna, means sacrifice, in particularly sacrifice in a ritualistic sense, like fire sacrifice, offering of grains and ghee into the fire, which is understood to be the mouth of the Lord, and thereby the Lord accepts those offerings. So that's the Treta Yuga, the second age, and then Dwaparam, Parachariyavam. The third age is called Dwaparayuga. And in the third age, the process is deity worship, formal deity worship in the temple. Yeah, like, well, they have some deities here. I think the way they're looked after is probably fairly simple. But if you go to our temple in Chatsworth, or our temple in Phoenix, actually, but particularly in Chatsworth, then you'll see that there's a very elaborate system of worship of the deities, Radha and Krishna, which is carried out all day, every day. The deities, in fact, are dressed twice a day. They are fed. They're offered foodstuffs and means, like, really quite amazing foodstuffs, actually. Pretty amazing. Six times a day. And arati is offered, as we were doing here while we were singing, arati is offered also six times a day. It's a kind of a fairly traditional system of deity worship, but it's somewhat simplified because it's Kali Yuga and the conditions, spiritually the conditions, and just in terms of sort of the atmosphere in society, things have gone down. So deity worship is done. It's not like, because it's not that Dwapara Yuga, you can't do it. You can do it, but it's not the main thing, and it's done in a simplified way. And then Kalo Tad Harikirtanat. Tad basically means that, the same thing, or the same result. The same result which people got in the other ages or yugas is also achievable in this Kali Yuga, this degraded and difficult age, through Hari Kirtanat, chanting the names of the Supreme Lord Hari or Krishna. Yeah. So, you know, like I mentioned, in the Satya Yuga, which is like a golden age, the process is silent meditation. You sit down and you just focus your mind, and just that's what you do. Focus your mind on, like, on an extended basis, even for hours. And that was recommended, particularly in terms of the natures of the people. They were just kind of like that sort of people that could get into something like that. But then in the second age, Treta Yuga, they were not able to meditate like that so easily. Some could, but the majority couldn't. Therefore, a simpler process, something which is less demanding on our minds, on our attention span, the performance of those sacrifices was recommended, and the people were just more able to get into that. So like this, things go down until now, it's Kali Yuga, and we also do silent meditation in Krishna consciousness, but we only introduce it to people after they have been practicing for some years. Because for the vast majority in this age, to sit down and give your attention for an hour, a couple of hours, and focus your mind like that, it's It's too much for the vast majority. You know, particularly when you consider people are living with their families and just living with other people in I think the majority of cases. And if in the next room your family member is watching some TV show, and you know you can hear it, of course, and in the other room some other family member or friend is playing the latest pop music, then to focus your mind silently, sure, that's a challenge. It's just really a challenge. So therefore, even though we do silent meditation to some degree, but it's only for very brief periods and only for people who have already, you know, imbibed things and kind of tuned in spiritually, and therefore they're capable of doing it nicely, at least for some time or a few times every day. Yeah. And similarly, deity worship, like I said, you know, even though the system in our temple in Chatsworth and in Phoenix, but it's more sophisticated, a little more sophisticated in Chatsworth, but according to the old standards, it's a simplified system. You know, there's some temples in India where they do or try to do things on it, that means deity worship, on a more elevated level. That's a real challenge. Like there's one temple, if you know India, in Rajasthan, in a place called Nathdwar, where the deity is Srinathji. And there, I mentioned here in Chatsworth, and I think in Phoenix, definitely in Chatsworth, we change the clothes of the deities twice a day. There, and the clothes, I mean, we've got a whole, I don't know how many, dozens and dozens of sets of outfits for the deities. So they're reused regularly. But in this temple in Nathdwar, Srinathji, they change the deity's clothes 8 times a day, and one set is only used once, and afterwards it's not discarded, but given to different devotees, sort of, you know, as a keepsake or some like sacred thing to treasure. So, yeah, that's a little higher level. But now in this age, can you imagine moving down West Street on Saturday morning, trying to do a bit of silent meditation? Fire Yagya on West Street in the Pavilion Mall. So, and people's natures are just, you know, attention spans are limited. I saw a cartoon, I mean, like a little cartoon strip newspaper or something a couple of years ago about attention span deficit. These two men are walking along, and one of them says, you know, the attention span of most people is so limited, it's really bad. And his friend who experiences it, yes, I was speaking to someone yesterday, and after a couple of minutes, they didn't know what I was talking about. And then, you know, I was speaking to someone else, and the same thing happened. And then a few days ago, I was speaking to someone else. And then the first one who introduced the subject said, what are you talking about? So in this Kali Yuga, very degraded age, where, for example, just as a very typical example, in terms of moral standards, moral principles, piety, purity, in simple material terms, nowadays, you know, for people to be vegetarian, of course it has been increasing, and it is increasing. But still the vast majority of people eat meat, and they just never occurred to them to do something else, or intoxication. I mean, you all know what goes on these days. The standards are low, and people are not, don't have so much internal strength to maintain principles and standards. So therefore in this age there's this very simple process of chanting the holy names of the Lord. And in fact, you know, our experience is, it's a very interesting point, it's a very interesting point, that the chanting of the holy names is so powerful, so effective, that even if you are walking down West Street on Saturday morning, and it's busy, 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 as I think it is usually, or, you know, in the pavilion on a Saturday morning, it's people and noise and rushing and all that. But we go chanting in West Street on Saturday morning sometimes, and the experience is very vividly that if you really get into the chanting with a group, particularly with a group of devotees, then you can become absorbed in it, greatly absorbed, so that when you're looking out at all the people going by, and the cars and the shops and the advertising and all that, it has no effect on you. Just has no effect whatsoever. Yeah? And it's sort of like looking out into another world, a kind of strange other world where things are mixed up. So it's effective. It's not just like, you know, the people can't do so much, and we give them something which they can do, but it's not so good, so it doesn't have so much effect. But no, it has tremendous effect. It has huge effect. It's amazing. And a great transformational effect. So like this, if you travel around the world, I travel around the world. Last place I came back from, actually about 4 weeks ago, I came back from Moscow, Russia, having been out in Siberia in midwinter. Midwinter in Siberia. Actually, they were having a heat wave in recorded history in January. The temperature had never, ever been anywhere near as high. It was, sometimes it was zero. And other days it was, you know, -5. This is heat wave. This is tropical conditions. society arena. Yeah. But even in a place like that, you know, Russia's very materialistic. Vegetarianism, it's almost like a cult thing, you know, like for strange people. Yeah, they're just so much into it, and intoxication. Ooh, amazing. But there are thousands and thousands of devotees in Russia. Just in Moscow, there's thousands of devotees. And it's all based on chanting. It's all based on chanting. So, in fact, there's a verse in Bhagavad Gita. Let me just try and locate it if I can. There's a verse in Bhagavad Gita somewhere in the 11th chapter. Oops. In the 11th chapter of Bhagavad Gita. In which Lord Krishna, chapter 12, chapter 11, chapter 11, anyway, in that verse, it's somewhere here. Krishna makes the point, or Arjuna makes the point to Krishna that the whole world becomes joyful on hearing the sound of your names. And Bhagavad Gita was not spoken in Kali Yuga. It was spoken in the previous Yuga, the Dwapara Yuga. Here it is, look at this. 11:36. Arjuna said, O master of the senses, the world becomes joyful upon hearing your name. And thus everyone becomes attached to you. Although the perfected beings offer you their respectful homage, the demons are afraid and they flee here and there. All this is rightly done. So like I said, it's from the end of the previous age. And Arjuna, who is, you could say, the audience, Krishna speaking to Arjuna. Arjuna notes this point, that even though it's Dwapara Yuga, and generally people would be more into deity worship, but actually, the people in general, at least the nice people, they become very happy hearing your names. And like this, they become attached to you. But the nasty people, the demons, like extremely materialistic and abusive types of people, they are put off by the chanting of the holy names. They cannot digest it or accept it, and Arjuna says, they flee. They run away. So the thing is that in all the ages, even though in the other three, other activities are sort of recommended, because the natures of the people of those times were such that they're just more, you know, easily attracted to them. Those particular activities, but still, the chanting of the holy names is always extremely effective. Therefore, we, you know what I thought of doing this evening? Of course, we had a little kirtan, that was nice. I thought that we could, after a little while, I thought we could, if we've got our beads here, do you have your beads here? Got your beads here? You got. And if you don't have, don't stress. But we could chant a little on our beads, and if you don't have beads, you just chant. And because it's a different type, a different style, or a different approach to chanting than what we were doing earlier, singing. Yeah. It's more personal and individualized. Whereas the singing, of course, it's very congregational. Aha. Okay, now you know what? I want to read a verse, devotees and friends, from Srimad Bhagavatam, which is making a very interesting, another very interesting point about the chanting of the holy names. This is not just for your reference if you, well, if you've got Prabhupada's books on your telephone, you could look it up and have a look if you want. It's Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 2, Chapter 1, Verse 11. Let me just read the Sanskrit verse. Canto 2, Chapter 1, Verse 11. Etanya vidyamana ichatam akato bhayam yoginam nripa nirnitam harir nam anukirtanam. O King, constant chanting of the holy name of the Lord after the ways of the great authorities is the doubtless and fearless way of success for all, including those who are free from all material desires, those who are desirous of all material enjoyment, and also those who are self-satisfied by dint of transcendental knowledge. Let's see. Now that gives actually quite an extensive purport. Oh, quite extensive, I'm not going to read a purport. Let me just read a few sentences from Prabhupada. In the previous verse, the great necessity for attaining attachment to Mukunda, Krishna, has been accredited. There are different types of persons who desire to attain success in different varieties of pursuits. Generally, the persons are materialists who desire to enjoy the fullest extent of material gratification. Next to them are the transcendentalists who attain perfect knowledge about the nature of material enjoyment, and thus are aloof from such an illusory way of life. More or less, they are satisfied in themselves by self-realization. Above them are the devotees of the Lord, who neither aspire to enjoy the material world, nor desire to get out of it. They're after the satisfaction of the Lord Sri Krishna. Anyway, Prabhupada goes on, So the thing is, well, Prabhupada says, in this verse, Sri Shukadeva Goswami recommends the transcendental chanting of the holy name of the Lord. by offenseless chanting and hearing of the holy name of the Lord, one becomes acquainted with the transcendental form of the Lord, and then with the attributes of the Lord, and then with the transcendental nature of his pastimes, etc. Okay, so this is an interesting verse. There are many interesting verses. But this verse is making the point that, referring to three types, quite like distinctly different types of persons. People who have no material desires. It's referring to the devotees. Then people who have all material desires. They just want whatever they can get their hands on and more. And then those who are self-satisfied through transcendental knowledge basically means they've given up their interest in materialistic enjoyment. Through understanding, through knowledge of how the soul is separate from matter, and therefore for the soul, and we are all souls, for the soul, the soul cannot find the happiness that he or she is looking for in material pursuits. So therefore they stop material activity. And basically they just try to kind of separate themselves, deny themselves anything material. So these three categories of people, the devotees, the enthusiastic materialists, and those who have just given up materialism through having a certain understanding, spiritual understanding. So the speaker, who is Shukadev Goswami, he's speaking to Maharaj Parikshit, King Parikshit, and he says that the chanting of the holy names of the Lord is the best way for all three of these types of people to achieve what they want. That's interesting, isn't it? I mean, sort of obviously, hopefully, for the devotees to chant regularly, chant, repeat, focus on the Lord by chanting his names. You know, that's straightforward enough. But how about someone who's just a materialist who wants to get lots of money and big, lovely house in Westville, or somewhere, Beverly Hills, maybe. And big motor car, or a collection of motor cars. You know what I mean? That sort of person. And then those who are not devotees, they're not focusing on the Lord, but they have understood that material life doesn't work for me. I tried to eat, drink, and be merry, but I failed. It didn't work. I didn't become happy. Yeah, so seeing through the facade of material existence, just on the basis of that understanding, that knowledge, they try to reject materialistic life. And of course there are other types of people too, but these are just three kind of popular or quite common types. And then for the other types also, here's another type. someone who wants mystical powers, like magical powers. Yeah, it's another type of person, more or less. So for that sort of person also, the best way to achieve what they want is to chant the names of the Lord. Yeah, so this is Srimad Bhagavatam. It's very important, actually, the most important scripture, really, of the Vedic scriptures. And here the speaker, Shukadeva Goswami, is recommending, whatever you're looking for in life, just chant the holy names. It's the best way to get it. Best way to get it. Just do it. And of course, people, for the devotees, like we said, it's kind of straightforward. But for the materialists, they wouldn't be able to grasp it. Yeah. Unless they try. This is the idea. People should try, give it a try, see what happens. And then for those people who are just like trying to deny material existence, for them, what will help them become detached from material life to the maximum degree is also chanting the holy names. There are examples. An example of a materialist, staunch materialist, who really wanted to get, you know, as much money and whatever else he could. A classic, sort of the classic example, is given in Srimad Bhagavatam in the fourth canto. A person called Dhruva Maharaj. It's a long story, but basically, Dhruva Maharaj was offended by his father. His father had two wives, and the father sort of pushed him off his lap and accepted the son of the other wife on his lap. And Dhruva was very offended. And the other wife told Dhruva, Dhruva's just a child, 5 years old, told him, you know, if you want to be accepted by your father, then you should take birth again from my womb. Yeah. And then you'll be acceptable. But right now you're not worthy of being accepted. So Dhruva Maharaj, even though just a child, became seriously offended and went back to his mother and told her, you know, this is what my father did. I want to teach him a lesson. He thinks I'm insignificant. And he's a big man. I want to teach him a lesson. I want to get a kingdom bigger than his. Then I will teach him who's important around here. In fact, he said, I want to get a kingdom bigger than the kingdom of my grandfather, who happens to be Lord Brahma, the creator of the universe. So if you want a kingdom bigger than the kingdom of Brahma, which is the whole universe, well, that's big material desire. As the verse says, those who are desirous of all material enjoyment, all of it, the whole lot. Yeah. So Vipak asked his mother, you know, how am I going to get such a kingdom? And she said, well, I don't know. I think you have to pray. You should pray to God. And Dhruva said, okay, where is he? Where is he? I'm going to approach him. And she said, well, I don't know, but I heard when people want to find God, in many cases they go to the forest. And Reuben said, okay, see you later. And that was it. He went into the forest. And like I said, it's a long story. But he met a great devotee, Narada Muni, who taught him a way, a process of mystical yoga of becoming extremely powerful. And in that way being able to acquire a lot. But he mixed in with it the chanting a particular mantra of names, of a name of the Supreme Lord. So Drupa, he was doing this discipline, including chanting. And like I said, it's a long story. It is quite a story. But eventually, the Lord appeared to him and said, okay, what do you want? Based on the chanting. And Drupa said, you know, I wanted a universe or a kingdom bigger than the universe. But now I've seen you, I don't care about that. I don't need it. I'll just take you. Anyway, the story goes on. But the Lord, yeah, the Lord blessed him and he ended up getting such a kingdom. And being accepted by his father. But he's the classic of someone, praise the example of someone who wanted all material enjoyment, more than what's available in the whole universe. And he got it, but on the basis of chanting the holy names of the Lord. And when he got it, through the chanting, he felt, I don't need it. In fact, he told the Lord, you know, I thought to have a big kingdom is something really valuable, like a mountain of gems, diamonds and rubies and emeralds, just a huge pile. I thought it was very valuable like that. But now I've got you, I feel that pile of jewels, it's no more valuable than a pile of broken colored glass. Just rubbish, in other words. Yeah. You know, I had an interesting experience many years ago, actually probably 20. When I was in Russia in a place called Vladivostok on the, what is it, the east coast, there's a beach there which is just covered in colored glass. Covered, this whole beach, there's no sand, there's no rocks, there's glass. Colored glass. Because a ship sank or something like that, which was carrying glass, and it all got washed up on the beach. And it made me think about the story of Drupa Maharaj. We're just walking over this red and white and green and brown glass, and it's just, who cares? It's really who cares, because we're at the beach, we're having fun. So that's how Drupa felt. You know, that people think these jewels are so valuable. Yeah. This is like a pile of broken colored glass. When one has the mercy of the Lord. So the thing is, this point is being made that whatever you're looking for in life, just approach the Lord for it. That's all. Best way to get whatever you want, fame, fortune, Krishna consciousness. Because in the process, if you chant the holy names, in the process, it's very likely that you will wake up and understand that whatever is or was that I was so interested in, actually is not so interesting. It's just not so interesting at all. Compared to having the mercy of the Lord and the association of the Lord, personal association. So therefore, devotees and friends, we recommend to you that you chant. Yeah. If you have beads, I imagine some, maybe all, I don't know. All of you are chanting regularly, great. Carry on. If you're already chanting, try and get into it more. Both quantity and quality. Both quantity and quality. Try and get into it more. If you don't have beads, if you're not chanting regularly, get some beads. They help to focus. And chant. Start chanting regularly. Even if it's just one round a day, it's only 10 minutes or so. Yeah. But try and give your attention to it. This is the thing. Try and give your attention. Means chant it and hear it. Don't just chant while your mind is off everywhere else, just thinking about this and that. And so the chanting becomes just like some sort of background noise there, which, you know, you're not really very interested in. Try and give your attention, because there is a direct link, a channel from the ears to the heart. It's more direct and stronger than from the eyes to the heart, although there's also a channel. But the channel through the ears is stronger, is bigger, more powerful. And therefore the chanting is emphasized so much as the main thing for changing the state of the heart, which is otherwise full of, you know, lust, anger, greed, pride, envy, jealousy, arrogance, illusion. All these things sort of assail us. So the heart becomes cleansed. The heart becomes cleansed by the sound vibration. And those undesirable features of consciousness, they reduce. And ultimately they disappear altogether. So, devotees and friends, like I said, do we have a few minutes? We could chant around maybe 5 minutes or several minutes, okay? And just tell me one thing. Next week, you're having a program, I assume, and the following. Is there anything arranged for those weeks? Okay. Because I was thinking, just thinking, of suggesting that at least next week, if you'd like, if everyone would like, we could go a little more deeply into this and even do, what would you call it, say, a little seminar, including a bit of practice of chanting, like working on chanting a bit. What do you think? What do you all think? Okay. Well, at least next week. At least next week. And we'll see how it all goes. Because, yeah, we've got a seminar, and it's a whole major seminar. It goes for days. All day for days. We'll can extract a few things. And, yeah, a few practical things that we can do. Like I said, attentiveness, hearing properly, without, you know, being distracted by the mind as much as possible, is a really important aspect of the whole thing. And in that regard, we say that in chanting, there are three main rules, like laws. First rule is, be attentive. Second rule is, be attentive. And the third rule is, as much as possible, be attentive. And to whatever degree you can kind of, you know, get into that, you're going to get an experience and even a life-changing experience. So, shall we chant for 5 minutes? Are you okay with this? Anyone radically opposed? Okay. So if you've got beads, take out your beads. If you don't have beads...
Well, you know what?
You know what we'll do? No, it's okay. You know, oh, we're going to do it in an interesting way. Listen to this. We will chant, just say 5 minutes or so, we will chant together. Together. Like, what would you say? In Russian, you say synchron. Yeah. That we will chant actually together. Not that you're chanting this way and I'm chanting that way, but we will chant together, synchronously, something like that. How's that? Is that okay? And like I said, if you haven't got beads, don't worry, just chant. Just chant. Even, you know, in the time of Lord Chaitanya, they didn't use beads. They used Lord Chaitanya, their pictures of Lord Chaitanya chanting on a strip of cloth with knots in it. And you would chant a mantra on each knot, then go to the next knot and the next knot. And in this way, keep track of how many times he chanted. Are you okay with this, Manali? Ready to go? All right. So just chant with me. Just repeat with me. All right? Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Radha Srivasani Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna. Well done. Congratulations. It's nice sometimes to chat like that with others. Sometimes it helps to focus more. Okay. So you know what? We'll carry on next week. Wednesday. And if you've got keys, please bring them. Yeah? You can bring them today, somehow. And we'll go into it. More of the understandings, the experiences, and practice. We'll try to improve our chanting. And then we get an improved result. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.